Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. As we continue on in our consideration of the life of our brother, his calling by the Lord to the ministry that he's given him. Here in this chapter 20, it's a big chapter. It's a long chapter. And in this study, I pray that I'm just not boring you to tears. I don't want to do that. I want us to go through it. I want us to see what's at hand. It's kind of a book that we just have to go through it verse by verse to get what's going on, okay? Because to summarize, to paraphrase, is just not going to really do it justice. But I don't want to camp out and stay in one place forever. But I do want us to go through it. And then another day, we can add to that. You know, pray, that's the way it is. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so we want to see... pray the Lord will help us to at least see overlying things regarding the book. Ezekiel is referred to by the Lord as Son of Man. It's a name that he's given. There's none other that has been given a name like that other than the Lord Jesus Christ. 90-some times our brother is referred to by this name, by God Almighty. Okay, and that's significant. It's not like one of his brethren or his father, earthly father or anything like that, but it's by God. It's by God that he's called this. And we wonder, we muse about considering, why is that? Why Ezekiel? Why that way? And we brought out some points about that. And we're going to see something here. I think there is certainly Ezekiel is in as far as shame and reproach that Ezekiel bears in the same time of life that he bears. It seems to be he's called at 30 some years old. We're going to see how this timeline goes on as we go through the scriptures. We've got another timeline reference here and compare that and just see how that is. But I think that's what I'm persuaded at this point that that's what the Lord sees in Brother Ezekiel. He calls a man in the prime of his life. And he calls him to do things that are going to be misunderstood, that are going to be from the flesh and the human standpoint. It's going to be shameful. Not that they're sinful, but they're just it's really a shame to see a man lying on his side for weeks and months on end with Jerusalem portrayed on a rock and little bulwarks and structures against it, and him eating a little bit of food and a little bit of water. And all that. He's the prophet of the Lord. And understand the word of the Lord that he bears is the word of God. We're going to take a look at that here by the end of this chapter. And so that makes it right. But you know what? The flesh doesn't want anything to do with it. And so that makes it to where in the flesh there is a shame and there's a reproach that's there. And I wonder about that with Ezekiel. By this time, we've come to a point, certainly, and chapters before it was the case, that the people there know that Ezekiel is a prophet. Now, they may not like him. They don't like his message. But they know that he is a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord has moved even to the death of one of the leaders, it seems, right there in Ezekiel's presence. To know that the power of God is with him. Now, Ezekiel didn't kill him. It was the Lord that brought that man to the end of his life, one of the leaders in Israel. And we come here in chapter 20 to another time yet again that the elders come and sit before our brother. Let's see what the Lord has for us here. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 1, "And it came to pass in the seventh year, in the fifth month and tenth day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me." So now they want to inquire of the Lord. Tell us what the Lord says. Tell us, you know, what we should do. You know, there's different occasions in that where kings go to the prophet. They go to the man of God. Different ones go to the man of God and say, "We want to hear from the Lord. We want to know what the Lord says about thus and so." And so these elders come to inquire. See, they know that the power and the hand of the Lord is upon Ezekiel. They know that. And now, from the time that we began this book in chapter 1, verse number 1, 2 years and 1 month and 5 days have passed. Okay? 2 years, 1 month, and 5 days have passed with this reference here of the seventh year, fifth month, and tenth day. We read on down here in verse number 2, "Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are you come to inquire of me?" Well, let's read. As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Remember how the Lord said through this, it's done, it's finished. He made a reference. Well, we read rather references and for 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and Jeremiah chapter 27 about chapter 17 and the things that the Lord told the last king Zedekiah about running. Right, he should not run, but he should submit to this because this chastisement, this occupation of Israel by the king of Babylon is of the Lord. And he should take it. He should take it. But he didn't. He ran. And then the Lord held him accountable for that. And bad things were done to him. In these verses where we read in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, remember how the Lord said that Israel had come to the point that there was no remedy. It was done. It's done. I tell you what, that's a bad place to come to when the Lord says, it's over. It's over. There's many things that happens in people's lives at death. The reprobate mind described in Romans chapter 1. And then this and the Lord dealing with nations. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Does it come to a point where the Lord says, it's done. I'm taking the candlestick away from this church. Does that happen? The Lord threatened it. I think it does. So, see, there comes times when the Lord says it's done. He said, "You come to inquire of me, I will not be inquired of by you." Now, the last time that they inquired, okay, the last time that they sat before him, let me find that chapter here real quick. Just want to point this out to you. Chapter number 8 and verse number 1, and it came to pass in the sixth year and the sixth month and the fifth day of the month as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me. It doesn't say that they inquired of the Lord, but they sat before him. Maybe they had a quarrel. Maybe they wanted to ask him what everything was about. And then the Lord worked to where that one leader from amongst them died. It's been 11 months since then. Okay. So now they're coming back. I think the intensity of Ezekiel's prophecy is increasing. And so since the last time they sat before our brother, it's been nearly a year. Listen to this. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. So these that sit before, they're in captivity. Remember, they're in Chaldea. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. What's going on here? The Lord's going back to the beginning of the nation. We've heard all that before. I tell you what, you need to hear it for real. I think that the Lord's going to rehearse what he's going to do here in a fairly lengthy passage because they have not remembered what the Lord has done. And here the Lord makes a reference to their fathers. The children don't know. The children have not sought to remember. Remember how we saw in the previous chapter, in chapter 18, in chapter 18 and 19 that we looked at last time, the Lord says, it's done. What the fathers have done is going to be on the fathers, and what the children do is going to be on the children. And so the Lord's doing some reminding here about what happened with their fathers hundreds of years ago, and then how it is right now that he's going to tell them, you are your father's children because you're just as rebellious as they are. He says, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand into the seed of the house of Jacob, verse 5, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth from the land of Egypt into the land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Isn't that something? It was the glory. There was no land better than the land of Canaan. Wow. Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man at the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Remember the law given on Sinai? Remember the first four commandments regarding their attitude and way towards the Lord? No graven images, no other gods, no taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, honoring the Sabbath day, the Sabbath day, the Sabbath day, Lord's day, one out of seven. That's the Lord's day. He says, get all that stuff that you learned in Egypt and that you've got left over from Canaan, that you've got left over from your fathers. Get that away. I am the Lord your God. I am to be worshiped, the Lord says. But they rebelled against me and they would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes. Neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them. I will accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my namesake that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Remember the mixed multitude? Remember how it was there when Moses went up on Sinai, as we mentioned about this morning, and Brother Mark Clark's message, Brother Mark Clark Jr.'s message on Friday, said, well, Moses is missing and we don't know what's happened to him. We need a God we can see. It was in their hearts. The mixed up multitude was mixed up, but it was in the hearts of the children of Israel too. And the thing is, if I understand what's written here, that they cried and they pleaded to the Lord for deliverance out of Egypt. But if I understand what the Lord has said here, the Lord did it for his name's sake, not because they were obedient and holy and righteous. He did it for the covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and so long. He did so because of his promise, not because they were any account. He said, but I wrought for my name's sake, verse 9, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them and bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. Boy, he sure did, didn't he? Destroyed Egypt in doing so. 10 plagues that could not be fought against. Yet Israel down there in Goshen, totally protected. And then the Passover that we saw there in the 10th plague for the sake of his people. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, a day of worship and a day of rest. You'll only have to work 6 days out of seven to make it very well. We won't have to do like the heathen do and work every day, every waking moment that there is to do well. I'll give you a day off and you'll make it very well. That you may know, what's that? That you might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. I've set them apart. But the house of Israel rebelled against me, verse 13, in the wilderness. And they walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments. Remember how it was in Proverbs 1:19? We saw about those different things. Statutes that the Lord gives, judgments that he gave, like he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. And if any man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. You know, Moses reminded the Lord, not that the Lord needs reminding of anything, but Moses did intercede for the children of Israel and say, well, if you destroy them, then it'll be said that the great God of heaven took them and destroyed Egypt and brought them out and all that out here to kill them. And not that the Lord needed any convincing. But Moses was righteous in his intercessory work for the people of the Lord and for the Lord, you know, and the Lord was long-suffering. He said, okay, well, I'll deal with it another way. I'll deal with it another way. And as we mentioned in those chapters there in Exodus this morning, I wrought for my namesake, verse 14, that should not be polluted before the heathen, a new sight, I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up mine hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. The fathers sinned. Let's read. Because they despised my judgments and not walked not in my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eyes spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. So now we see have the fathers that were delivered out of Egypt. We see their disobedience. And the Lord didn't say, bzz, you're all gone. But he said to the children, you obey me. I'll take care of your fathers, but you obey me. You obey me. And we know that that's what happened, wasn't it? They came up there to the threshold of going into Canaan. They sent in the 12 spies. 10 spies came back against Joshua and Caleb that were of the positive force. Said, oh, the Lord's done all this for us. Well, they were men that were persevering, weren't they? Why? They had faith in the Lord. So they're giants. They're twice as tall as we are. They're strong. They're mighty. They're in the hills. They're this, they're that, and the other. But the Lord is our God. He's given it to us. I mean, Lord, help us. Is it better to go forward at the command of God and die than to just stay back and not hear the Lord and not obey the Lord and die that way? Lord, help us. I may need you to remind me of that someday. But you know what I'm saying? Is it better to die obeying the Lord or to hold back and just wither away into nothing, thinking that we can save life to ourselves? It's right along the line of what the Lord has said. And it said, if you keep your life and save your life for yourself, you're surely going to lose it. But if you use your life for my sake and for the gospel's, that's what Jesus said, you'll find it. Is it not the same thing? But I said to the children of the wilderness, walk not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God, verse 19, walk in my statutes, keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. So the children did go into the land, didn't they? And then Joshua and the elders of his day lived until they died. And then what do we've got? 400 years of turmoil in the days of the judges. Up and down, up and down. They get oppressed by the lands of the inhabitants of Canaan. They cry unto the Lord. And the Lord sends them a judge and a deliverer. They obey the Lord. And they pursue what's right and do what the Lord told them. And then they have ease and blessing. And they go back down again, right? Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my namesake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. See, the Lord never did forget that they were his people. Never did. Never did. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries. And so that happened. And it was a warning. And then it happened. And it was a warning. And then the Lord gave them Saul. And then the Lord gave them David. And then the Lord gave them Solomon. And then they just kept on with the good times. They just kept on going down and down and down and down and down until they were all the way right here where they are now. and disperse them through their countries. Verse 24, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. What? Yeah, punishment can come in the form of bad leadership, bad thinking, and and a lack of, confusion of face. I mean, that's what we've got today in our country. I mean, we can't make sense in our country. Our leadership of our land, our nation, the people of the land, can't make sense out of 1 + 1. We can't, right? And that's judgment from the Lord. And I polluted them in their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, their worship of demons and that, and the sacrificing of their children to false gods, that I might make them desolate to the end that they might know that I am the Lord. They sacrificed the fruit of the womb and became less in population. What is it now? And I'm off the top of my head here. We're better than seven million and some that have died been murdered because of abortion, right? 7 million? How many? Over 50 million. Yeah, okay. I was thinking the population of the earth. And that's 7 billion, 50 million. Okay, so we've got 330 million population in the country, and 1/6 has been slaughtered since the 70s. The liberals have killed off their tax base. See what sin and foolishness and wickedness does? The liberal has killed off their own people. Let's say half of them would be a liberal that would be born, 25 million. That would make a difference in an election, wouldn't it? See how that is? Just taking a look at it from the business side of it. And that's what the Lord has said that might make them desolate. See, that the whole liberal wicked way, the way of, when we say liberalness, we say it's a wicked way is what it is. When we talk about liberals, they're liberal in what they do. They're not conservative according to truth and law and the word of God and what's right. And it is self-destructive. The way a man is self-destructive. Therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and say unto them, verse 27, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. He says, son of man, speak unto them and say, your fathers blasphemed me, and that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up my hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices. And there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And the name thereof is called Bema unto this day. Not supposed to be worshiping in high places. Supposed to be going up there and looking at the great goodness that God had given. Have a picnic. Maybe camp out and spend the night and enjoy the goodness of God, but not use it to sin against him. The place of worship was in Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, and in Jerusalem when the temple was set up. That's the place of worship. But with a straight face, when the Lord inquired and said, well, what are you doing? They said, oh, well, this is just the way we do it here. Wisdom, self-conceit. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, verse 30, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations? I think this is coming to those that are in bondage now. For when you offer your gifts, you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. Covetousness. Not the way that the Lord had given them, but they wanted another way. I want to be different like everybody else. You hear that? I want to be different like everybody else. They wanted the way of the heathen. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. He said, I've not forgotten your mind. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries. So see, in verse 32, this is what they say. But the Lord says, he's not forgotten his covenant. He's not forgotten his oath. He's going to put that away from them, that covetous heart. And I will bring you out, verse 34, from the people. I will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand, with stretched out arm, with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Wow. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will plead with you, saith the Lord God, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I'm going to do some separating, and I'm going to bring you to me, and I'm going to bring you to me to a good thing. You know, these elders that are sitting there before Ezekiel as he gives this prophecy, what do you think they're thinking? You know, with the history lesson, yeah, we've heard it before. You know, they don't get it. Rather than being grieved about their disobedience and their wickedness and that they have followed the way of their fathers and that what they have done has got them into captivity in Chaldea. Because, see, I think that's what part of what this is all about is those that have been taken captive, they don't know why. And then he talks about their fathers, but then he talks about you're following after the same way. And he said, well, yeah, kind of, sort of, maybe, whatever. They just don't get it. They don't get it. They don't want to get it. But the Lord says, but I'm not going to forget my nation. I'm going to bring them. And it's going to be rough at the first. You think about what Israel's going to endure in the tribulation, the great tribulation. It's going to be a time of difficulty and hardship that has never been seen before. But you know, that's what it's going to take to bring Israel, and she will be brought. That you may know that I am the Lord. Verse 39, as for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye everyone his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. He said the context is they come worshiping the Lord, but they do it in a manner that's not directed by him and not approved. For in mine holy mountain and in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel and all them of the land serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. You know, how are we to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth according to his word? What happens if we don't do that? We won't be worshiping the Lord, will we? And will our Lord accept it? He will not. And so it was that Israel was given a way to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord. And they changed it. They wanted something else. And it went on, and it went on, and it went on to their destruction. You know, if Olmsted Baptist Church, if we don't worship our Lord in spirit and in truth and hold to the teaching that our Lord Jesus has given us and that our Father has given us in the Scripture and the operation that he's given us to operate as a church and all, if we don't follow our Lord in that, we'll get to a shape. The Lord will take the candlestick away. He'll do it. And so may he help us. That we worship him as he's commanded us. And that's what had happened to Israel. This is a warning to us, not only to the Jews, but to us. Verse 41, I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Because that's been the purpose all along, is that the Lord be glorified in his nation, in his people. Amen. That it's known, it's Jehovah God that is our God. And he has done these things for us, and he's made a difference in us. Verse number 42, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give to give it to your fathers. Now, he'll do this at the time of Zerubbabel, and the temple will be rebuilt, but then also he will do it at the end, because we know that they've been scattered again. And then Israel was made a nation, right, in 48. Verse 43, "And there shall ye remember your ways and your doings, ye shall, wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. I will do good according to, he will do good according to his word. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards the south." Okay, so he's there by the river Chebar, and he says, "Turn around and face the south, Ezekiel, and drop thy word towards the south." So proclaim this to the south, "and prophesy against the forest of the south field, and say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched." What's it speaking about? I don't know exactly, but the Lord has given Ezekiel just a very short prophecy that there's going to be a burning. There's going to be a burning that's going to consume all. All faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. Is it speaking about the Lord's judgment upon the nations that the Lord used to chastise Israel? I wonder what this means. I don't have an answer to it, to be honest with you. I don't know what it means. But you know what? Whatever it means, it will come to pass, or has come to pass. "And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it. It'll be known that it is of God." Is it speaking about the ultimate destruction of the world? I don't know. Verse number 49. "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables?" Brother Ezekiel here in this prophecy, in this time here, I think there's an element here that he's ashamed. He has the power of the Lord upon him, it's evident. But then the Lord gives him such a prophecy to declare unto them in these last few verses here. And I think he really has the Lord using him this way. See, Israel doesn't deserve a clear word. You know, think about Israel and the 400 years of silence between the last book written and the New Testament. See, Israel in their wicked way got to a point where the Lord just shut down. That's when it's the worst, is when there is no word from the Lord. There is no prophet from the Lord. And Ezekiel is here. He says, "Ah, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? They say I'm nonsensical. What I say, it doesn't mean anything to them. It doesn't have an impact to them. It doesn't mean anything." Now, I want us to go back here to chapter 3. And I think all the prophets of the Lord have had this same kind of thing, that they've dealt with and being given the prophecy of the Lord to the people of God, and they've refused to hear it, refused to receive it. We see that in Moses' day. We see that in other prophets' day. We see that in Elijah's day, and so on. Remember, our Lord is called Ezekiel. And remember how it is here in chapter 3. And verse number 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. When we take a look at these words, bitterness and the heat of my spirit, this word bitterness is talking about being angry. It's talking about being chafed. Talking about being discontented or very heavy. This word heat is talking about anger and hot displeasure, indignation, rage and wrath even. See, I think Ezekiel is indeed in a place where he doesn't want to do what he's been called to do. But he concedes that the hand of the Lord is upon me. And he does it. And we come here to where we read in chapter 20. He said, and what is it? He's worried about what they think about him rather than the word of the Lord that he's been given to proclaim. I'm not saying that I would do any better. But the thing is he's being used of the Lord in this way, and there's no escape for him to be used this way. The Lord's hand is upon him, and the Lord has called him Son of Man. See, what Ezekiel needs to know is what our Lord gave Brother Isaiah in chapter 55. Let's take a look over here in Isaiah chapter 55. Whether the word of the Lord is plain or the word of the Lord is in a parable and a dark saying, it is the word of the Lord. And see, the point is that you and I need to be content in that. And we need to receive it. See, the Lord says in Isaiah 55, in verse number 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but the rain waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, things grow that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Just like water comes down and rains and is making the corn grow, making the tomatoes grow, and you and I eat that, and then there's seed out there that they'll replant next season. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I think Brother Ezekiel is there in that point that he needs to know this and he needs to learn that. He says, oh, Lord, they just think of me that I speak in parables. That they think of me that I speak in a childish way. That they think of me, well, I speak and it's evidence that it's from you, but it's nothing they can understand. And I think that bothers Ezekiel. But may the word of the Lord, and whatever the word of the Lord is, may it not bother us. May we know that it's from God. Whether it be a parable or it be a direct command, it's from God. Now, in contrast, I think that there is a contrast or a comparison here between the shame that Ezekiel has borne and the shame that the Lord Jesus Christ has borne. But you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he ever ashamed of the word of God in any way? Did he speak in many parables and that was just right? See that? That's the way it is with men. Any man in the scripture that's a type of Christ is they can only go so far because there is none that compares to our Lord. But the Lord said, I speak in parables. Why do you speak in parables? Remember the disciples asking that? Why do you speak in parables? And Jesus didn't say, well, I'm kind of ashamed to, but I do anyway. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said that hearing, they might not hear, and seeing, they might not see. And that in perceiving, they would not understand. Because it's the word of the Lord. It's always good. So you pray that the Lord will help us and bless us as we go forward. The word of the Lord is going to continue to come to our brother. And he's going to deal with Israel, continue to deal with Israel, these elders that are before him there that seek to inquire. And the Lord says he'll not be inquired of them. And then we're going to come over here in chapter 22, and we're going to see about aspects of judgment. I think this will be a good thing for us to understand. It'll certainly help us. It's a misunderstood thing in the world today, and I think that we'll see that here in this passage. Are you here and you're not saved? We point you to Jesus. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in him. Believe him and his gospel for the salvation of your soul. You're a child of God. Be faithful to your Lord. Ask the Lord to help you to persevere. Seek the Lord's face and ask the Lord to help you to understand his word and to be built up in his word and in his truth. To take that word of God, that good word of God, and not just be one that's knowledgeable about it, but to take that good word of God and apply it to the living of your life, that our Lord might be praised and that he might be worshiped. And may we as his people in his church, may we not fall away and get covetous and want other things that the Lord doesn't want us to have, but may we desire him. Amen.